not going to take long. I know you guys have been fed so well. And if we say amen here, I think all of us can go home with something that God's spoken to our lives. Amen? Or is it just me? I believe it's all of us. I have a short message that I just want to share. I wanted to share something else last night, but for some reason, it's been just heavily in my heart to share this message. I've shared it a few weeks ago with the students, but I'll be taking a little bit of the other direction. And the title when I shared with the students was, "Whose Report Will You Believe?" And the title that I want to entitle this message today is "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." It's the same scriptures, but you can go both ways. Whose report will we believe? And that the battles that we face in our life, they belong to the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Well, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 15 says, "Do not be afraid or disarranged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Whatever what we face in our life, we have a choice. Do we trust God or we fight those battles in our own strength? And of course, there are common sense things in our life that we are to deal. I'm not talking about that, you know, there's something that we're going through and the common sense thing says, do this and you'll be well, or do that and it's not going to be well, and we still do something wrong and then we blame God. I'm not talking about that. But there's things in our lives, struggles that we might face, battles that are going on in our hearts that we face and we're going through. And sometimes we have to understand that those things are the Lord's battle, not mine to fight alone. But He already fought them and won them for me. And for some reason, He allowed us to go through some circumstances in our life. And those circumstances for us to learn how to trust Him more. How to put our burdens upon Him. How to walk with Him through it all and still call Him good. Because He is good. And through that time, He molds us and builds our character. And makes us to be more like Him and less like us. Amen? When people are prone to fight in their own strength, a lot of times they fail. They come up with ideas in their own strength, in their own mind, how to prevail. And ultimately, they might fail. And that brings discouragement. And in some cases, that even brings to a point of even giving up following God. And of course, we know that words have power. What we talk, what we say to each other, they have power and weight. Words are like feather, like my parents says. You put feather in bag and you drive on a highway and you open that bag and all the feather just is gone. You're never gonna catch them back. This is how words are. In our life, we talk, we converse with families around the table, with our friends, and I'm catching myself at times at how careful I have to be able to understand, like we heard at the revival services, that God is in the midst. And all changes is when we have the common understanding that God, whatever what I'm dealing with, you're already aware of it. There's no point of me sitting and talking and going over and making ideas or assumptions or judgmental things about somebody. God, you know the situation. I give this up to you. A few months ago, this is how this message was birthed. A few months ago, me and my wife, we were going through our own little thing, you know, and when you press that button, that you go through your own little thing, everything comes out. This is not right, this is wrong, I would do this way, I would do that way, this person is nasty, but all of a sudden, I am nasty. My words, what I'm speaking, what I'm thinking, that's not of God. And we begin to think how things are difficult and how sometimes the giants are there and they're against us and how sometimes we are so weak. And how sometimes we are so strong. And in either case, we fail. And we see all the negativity and everything bothers us. And particularly it was, you know, to live here on campus, to work here and to go to church here sometimes can be hard. And what I'm saying when sometimes it's hard, what I mean is sometimes we forget the important things. And we get nearly greedy with little things that don't matter. And the enemy comes and brings from this little thing like a huge mountain of problem, but that's a piece of cake that's not a problem at all. But in our eyes, this is a problem. And that diverts our focus for what matters, which is the lives of young people, to train them, to invest into them. And we pay attention to little things, what frustrates us. And we begin to focus on those things and nothing is good. And in that prayer, God reminded me of a story in the Bible that we're going to be reading. And my brother Nick is going to help me read that story in a minute. But it talks about when Israelites, when Moses sent people from the 12 tribes to go to the Canaan land and to bring a report back. Because God, remember, God promised them this land. God says, you will conquer this land. In this land is honey and milk. Everything will be provided for you. All what you have to do, be obedient to my word. Walk with me. Be in my presence. Just be obedient to me. Sanctify yourself. Leave the wrong things behind. Leave the idolatry behind. I have something better for you. And yet, when these people went to this land, they saw many things. They had a task to bring back, which was a good report they were supposed to be bringing back. Doesn't matter what the obstacles were, God already promised them the land. And they had to look upon this land through the promise of God, not their own natural eyes. So if I can ask my brother Nick, if you can come up and just read, it's going to be Numbers, for those who want to follow us, Numbers chapter 13, verses 17 through 33.
Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up into the Negev and go up into the hill country and see what the land is and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, and whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob near Lebo Hamath. They went up into the Negev and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came to the valley of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two of them. They also brought some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of the people of Israel cut down from there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there, the race of giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them.
Thank you. What a powerful story. And many of us know this story. I remember the story was taught to us when we were kids. These were stories that when you were taught as a kid, you remember Jericho, promised land, Moses, miracles. And yet in that prayer, when I was praying with my wife, it was all of a sudden this thought came to my mind, into my heart. Pavel, what do you see, the giants or the fruits? And I began, after the prayer, I began to talk with my wife, and begin to share this thought. And we're here in ministry. And we have a choice. What we will see, giants or the promise of God, the fruit that comes through what God entrusted us to be. And that changed everything. That changed how we understand what we're fighting against, the battles that we face. God has promised us whatever what he promised in our life to do. And sometimes situations will come against us, circumstances will come against us. And there will be giants. But those giants are not there to intimidate us and to bring fear upon our lives for us to give up. The intention is that. But God allows those giants for us to see so we can have faith in God that he promised us this land and we will take over. Doesn't matter what comes against us. Doesn't matter what giants are facing our life. There is fruit in this promise. Doesn't matter what I'm going through in my life. There is fruit that God has promised. I'm going to bring this fruit with me. I can bring my negativity, but I can bring the fruit. And they're just mentioning the fruit. They brought the fruit with them. But then they said, nevertheless, the people who dwell there, they're strong. They're mighty. In the end of the chapter, it says, we're like grasshoppers. We're so small. And they're giant people against us. We can't overtake them. We cannot go against them. And yet they forgot that the promise that was given to them from God. God didn't say that, listen, if there is giants, I'm not going to give you the land. God says, believe in me. Walk with me. Turn away from the wicked things. Sanctify yourselves. I'll give this land to you. But these people wanted to move in their own flesh. And the Bible says in chapter 14, if you read Numbers chapter 14, how they wanted to go against these people in their own strength, in their own might. Some people said, we're going to go and fight them. It's a piece of cake. And they began to trust their own strength, their own flesh. And they failed. And the Bible says that God destroyed these people, that they trusted themselves. And there were only two people left from these people they went to spy, alive, to be able to tell the story of God's faithfulness and what God did in their life. And I don't know about you, but here it says that there were two people that were carrying the fruit. And later on it says that there were two people left that God did not destroy. Isn't it a coincidence that some people focus on the giants and there were some people that focus on the fruit? And those who focus on the fruit, they lived to tell the story. They believed God. And they actually inherited the land. What are we focusing on? What kind of stories we choose to believe? What kind of stories we choose to follow? What are we saying through our mouth? Life or death? Words have power. But yet, let's turn to another story. And it's the story about Jericho. I'm not going to read, but it's written in Joshua, chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, and so on. It's written about the same promise that God is coming. He says, go and conquer this land. I'm giving you this land. I'm giving you this land. Not that in your own strength you're going to conquer it, but because I promised to you. And the Bible says that they sent again two men to look at this land. And these two men came to Joshua. And what did they say? There are giants there? What did they say? We cannot take the land. They said, surely God is going to give us this land. And if you read the story, this two men's life, they were in jeopardy. They were hiding for their lives. People were looking for them. They were hiding on a roof. They were thinking that their life is probably going to come to an end because they were coming to look upon this land. But through all the obstacles, they came to a conclusion that God is going to give us this land. They could have been fearful. They could have been said, there is no fruit here. They could have said, you know what? Even though there is a little bit of fruit, but I'm going to pay attention to the giants of the impossibility, of the obstacles that are coming against me. God is not going to do this for me. I'm not worthy of this. I don't deserve this land. But they came back to Joshua with a good report. And they said, we're going to conquer this land. And what does Joshua do? He gathers the people. He orders them to be sanctified. He takes the Ark of the Covenant. See, not in their own strength. Like in the first time when they went to Canaan. Now they take the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God, where God dwelled, where God met with people. And the Ark of the Covenant and the priests, everybody's going forward before the people. He gives order, don't even approach the Ark of the Covenant. Stay back, far off. God is gonna go and fight for us. The battle belongs to Him, not to me, not to you, but the battle belongs to Him. And all what we're doing, just being a part of what God is gonna do in this city. And the Ark of the Covenant is going forward. 7 days they're walking around these walls of Jericho. And the Bible says that God told them at the seventh day, walk again 7 times. And when you're gonna walk the 7th time, shout with a mighty shout and the walls will come down. What is that for me and for you to do in these battles? Is to shout the victory of the Lord. God never asked me to fight in my own strength. He never asked you to fight in your own strength. He allows things in my life, in your life, for us to be able to go through those paths. But He has a promise that He will not leave me, will not leave you, or forsake me, or forsake you. But He will be there with you. And all what He's asking me and you to do is walk with Him. He's gonna be ahead of us. He's going to Jericho. He will be walking in Jericho before we even walk. But yet we are to be part of that victory. We are to be part of that army that will witness what God is doing. And when we witness what God is doing, all what is left for us to do is shout out, God, we praise you because you did this in my life. Praise God. This is the difference. What story you choose to be part of? The first story or the second? What story do you choose to believe? The giants or the promises of God in the second story when He says that we'll do this because God has promised us? And to compare the first story when it was just the land and compare the second story when there were walls that they were so high, I think I would choose probably was easier to conquer the first story. I think it required more faith in these people's lives to believe God that this building, so to speak, is gonna come down, than to be like, you know what, I'm gonna fight. I think I would be prone more to believe that I would be probably more of the first story guy. We're gonna gather everybody. Nick took some classes before with Taekwondo. Maybe we can take all of us and we can go and fight. We can come with strategies how to do this. We can come up, who else is a boxer maybe here? Nate, maybe he's strong. We're gonna come and fight this in our own strength. I'll probably take the first story. But this is when we fail. The second story required more faith. Because the second story were walls. That it's almost impossible, no matter how you're gonna come and bang into them. It's almost impossible to bring them down. And it requires more faith and trust in God. And when people came and said, you know what, God, we're going to promise. We're going to believe your promises. But we're not going to do it to your own strength. The Ark of the Covenant goes first. And we're just going to follow. Whatever you do, God, we're just going to be followers and be witnesses of what you're doing. And maybe there are Jericho walls in your life, in my life, that God maybe is speaking to us. And He promised that we will take over that. Maybe God's promised us that not for long you're gonna be dealing with the situations in your life. Not for long you're gonna be dealing with circumstances, with addictions in your life. These walls will fall down. And we're prone to fight our own strength. We're prone to be candidates for the first story. How can I stop myself? How can I do this? 5 steps to do this, 10 steps to do that. And we find ourselves short all the time because the giants are too big in our life for us to fight in our own strength. But I want to encourage all of us today to be the generation of the second story. That we will say, God, you have promised us. And the Ark of the Covenant, you're first because the battle belongs to you. I'm not going to fight in my own strength. I can't do it in my own strength. All what I have to do is yield. And all what's requested for me to shout, the shout of victory. This is all what is requested. It's been finished. Praise God. There's a story in the Old Testament that Israelites were fighting against Goliath. They were fighting and fighting. They were trying to bring armies against one person and they couldn't do it. They saw the giant. They were fearful and they ran away. God promised them liberty. God promised them freedom. And yet they're facing this giant. Not giants, giant. And armies are running away from him. And yet there was a man of faith by the name of David. He said, I will go. I'm not going to fight in my own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. Who is this Philistine that is talking against the army of God? Not me personal. I'm not going to take this personal. But the army of God, because God's people live for a purpose in this earth. We have a purpose. And when things come against us, it's not just us. It's against the Almighty God. And nothing can stand the Almighty God. Nothing, no problem, no obstacles, no issues, no addictions, no nothing, nothing. Everything crumbs down at the power of his word. And the Bible says that David fought Goliath and he won the battle. And there is an interesting verse that I want us to pay attention to. It is written. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 verses 52. You don't have to open there. But it says, and the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath. I have a question. Did they fight the battle? Were they fighting with David? Yes or no? Were they part of the victory? Did they go to gym and they got all this strength and they said, you know, we're going to take other people. We're going to come and fight against David. We're going to help you. They were not part of that fight. Every time they tried to fight, they failed. And now David is a type of Christ. Fought for the people to bring freedom into people's life. And it became once man's victory, became all man's victory. Capture this. The victory that David had, it became the victory of the nation. The victory that one man fought and won became the victory of all the Israelites that were fighting day after day. They were part of the first story that I read and they were failing because they looked at the giant, not at the promise of God. But the victory that David had, these people were part of that victory. And the Bible says, they shouted and they began to pursue the Philistines. All what is required for me and for you to shout a shout of glory, a shout of victory, because the battle belongs to the Lord. What kind of battles me and you are fighting today? What kind of walls are around our lives? What kind of addictions that we face? What kind of things that we face that we think, God, I feel like you're speaking to me that I'm going to walk in victory, in liberty over these things in my life, and I feel still that I'm trapped. What story you want to be part of? The first one, that you look at the giants and you're going to go in your own strength and fight and lose? Or you're going to be a people that will say, you know what, I'm going to be a people that will believe the promise of God, that God has promised me these walls. God has promised me this city. God has promised me this land. God has promised me my family. God has promised me my relatives. God has promised me my neighbors. I'm gonna march around these walls. And one thing what is interesting about it, that the Bible says when you're gonna march around these walls, be silent, nobody talk. And I found that interesting. I like to talk, as you see. But in that story, it was almost a command. Don't talk. 7 days. Can you imagine? The people, the enemies probably thought that they're mute down there. They're walking. They're singing probably in their mind. And let's pretend that this is the Jericho walls and they're just walking. And somebody wants to say, hey, it's impossible. The person says, shh, don't say that. We're supposed to be silent. And they're walking. And they're walking. And again, somebody wants to be like, this is stupid. Why are we doing this? 7 days? Can God do a miracle in one day? The other person said, no, we're not supposed to walk. We're not supposed to talk. We're not supposed to discourage each other. Sometimes in the journey when we find ourselves, we want to talk. And sometimes that kind of a conversation is not to build, but to destroy. And God is saying, no, 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 don't talk. Don't talk. Just wait patiently upon the Lord. Because those who wait upon the Lord will renew the strength. They will rise like eagles. They will fly. Don't talk. Don't pick up the phone when a situation comes and call your family, call your friend all of a sudden. I do that sometimes and I have to stop. Don't talk. Walk in the journey for 7 days. If it takes, maybe you're in the third day, maybe you're in the fourth day, but walk. All what is left for me and for you to do is to shout. This is all what is required of us, to shout and proclaim the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord. Because when we open our mouth and we begin to talk, we will see giants. We will see the impossibilities. We will see how we cannot not overcome this, how we can do this. Yes, there is fruit, but I'm gonna pay attention to the giants. Who am I? I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. I'm gonna fail. This is what happens when we talk. What happens when we're silent? We see the victory of the Lord because the ark is in front of us. The ark is in front of us. The battle is His. And all He said is, follow me. Follow me. I'm gonna bring victory in your life. I'm gonna bring deliverance in your life. No matter what you face, no matter what the addiction is, no matter what the problem is in your family, I will bring victory in your life because the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Don't talk. Don't try to fix it in your own strength. Don't try to communicate. Don't try to make it worse or better. Just zip it and trust me. Walk with me and I'll show the glory. And when we will see those walls coming down, all what we'll have to do is shout, jump and praise God because He did it, not me. All what I did is just walk in obedience with Him. Walk in obedience with Him around these walls and be witnesses of what God is doing. Not what I'm doing, but what God is doing. Hallelujah. I want to be part of that group that will walk. I want to be part of that group that will walk and see how David slams the giant. I want to be part of the group, not fighting, but shouting. And 2,000 years ago, more than 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth. He fought the battle for me and for you. He won on the cross. And all what He says, now be part of this. Be part of this victory. You don't have to do this in your own strength. Be part of this victory. And all what is left for me and for you to do is say, God, I thank you. I praise you. I give my life to you. I love you so much. And no matter the circumstances in my life, it will come a day. The 7 day is coming and I will shout the victory of praise. You're not done with me. You're not finished with me. No matter what day you find yourselves in, God is in control. Don't talk. If you want to talk, talk to Him. Talk to Him because He already knows the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. Talk to Him. Because when you talk to Him, you'll be encouraged. But when we talk with each other, we'll be discouraged. Stand with me today, please. If God spoke to you this morning, and as I said, that there are two titles of this message. The battle belongs to the Lord. And another title was, whose report will you believe? If God spoke to you, just come up front, join me here. I need prayer too, so I'm gonna come down too. You know, sometimes we think that those people that sit out there, they're over there. No, we're all the same place. We're all the same pot, so to speak. And if you wanna join me in this prayer, and be like, God, when I wanna do things in my own strength, help me. Help me to leave it up to you. You're doing the battle, not me. And in the end, I wanna share a quick story of my parents. My mom told me a story that when they got a piece of land, and you know that in Ukraine, they feed their kids through farming. We lived really poor, really poor. And during the Soviet Union, communism was, and Christians were looked down upon. And there were a time that finally they gave this property to my mom and my dad. They were so happy. There were a couple acres of land. And it was a prestige property, but they gave it so they can raise their family. We can farm. And it came a moment when somebody who had money, somebody who had some authority, they claimed that land, the backyard where we're supposed to grow potatoes, tomatoes, to farm for our own. food. And I don't know what the deal was, but they made a deal and they took the land away. All of a sudden, we were left just with the houses and a piece of small property. And whatever we were supposed to bring food for the family, it was gone. And they began to build. They began to do the foundation. They brought tractors. People are watching. Can you imagine what kind of testimony that is, especially for neighbors that don't believe in God? Neighbors that are communists, they're looking at the thing and say, haha, where is your God? Yes, it was given to you, but look now what's happened. You have nothing. All my parents knew what to do, because there is no point to go to offices, knock on the door and ask for land. During that time, forget about it. But they knew one thing, God, the battle belongs to you, not to me. My parents began to pray, began to fast, I began to pray. And there was a word that came to my mom, that those stones would be broken and they will fly out. And they were praying and they were fasting, they were believing God. And one day she looked in the window, it came an order. I don't know what happened. It came an order for that foundation to be broken, because that land, it's my parents' land. It was given to them. Nobody had the power to come and take it away. I don't know how that happened. It's a miracle during that time. And they came with big tractors, big cranes, and they were picking up this foundations, and they were throwing it up, and the stones were flying out. And they cleaned it up, their mess. And this property, it's still our property, even though we live in the United States. Because God is faithful. The battle is not mine and yours, it's God's. God will fight for you. Will He allow things in your life? Yes, He will. But through that time, don't talk. Talk with Him. Keep silent, trust Him, and He will do what only He can do. Amen? So if this is you in your life, just join me here up front and we'll pray together. And I'll ask Ashley, Nick, if he can come after he sings, and he will pray for us and we'll be dismissed. May God bless you. Join me here.